Golf Show. All about golf, from putting to driving, from hooks to whatever. Now, here's your host of the Back Nine Boys Golf Show, Rich Stiles.
Welcome into the show. The Back Nine Boys is brought to you by Bridgestone Golf. Play the Tour B ball with Mindset Technology. By the club at Sea Palms. By PXG, you've never played like this before. By RSM, proud sponsor of the RSM Classic, giving back to our community. By Stitch Golf, dress your game. And by CJ's Italian Restaurant, voted for the second time in a row, best pizza on the island, known for their deep dish and thin crusts and much, much more. Check out their full menu at CJsItalianRestaurant.com. On the show today, we're going to talk with Chris Busciutti, the founder of Broken Tee Vodka. And it's the only vodka that I know that you have a ball marker when you buy it. Then we're going to talk with Augustine Pisa. Augie is going to talk about Pisa Golf and their wellness program that comes with a bag and you only carry five clubs because you're playing par threes. But it's really kind of fun. Then we're going to talk with Pat Conner, who is the Wyndham Clark's coach. Wyndham, as you saw, won for the first time in several years. And Pat said what he did was shortened his backswing. And I'll let you hear the conversation that I had with Pat. But first up, Broken Tee Vodka with Chris Busciutti.
On the show today, we've got Chris Busciutti, who is the founder of Broken Tee Craft Vodka. And Chris, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Rich. Really appreciate it.
So obviously you're a golfer because Broken Tee was about golf. Tell me how it all started for you and getting into this adult beverage business.
Well, it's a great question. I'm a lifelong golfer. I've got my Sunday Skins group. I literally try to play twice a week if I can, when we're not traveling. And if you've ever been in a Skins group or if you've ever been around a course, you know that feeling, you know how addicting it is and you know how much fun it is. And, you know, when we would go to the 19th hole, you know, you'd sit down, you'd tell the stories and you'd talk about your shots, the good ones, the bad ones and everything in between. And, you know, when you look on the shelf, there was really nothing there that spoke to our world. There's a lot of adjacent brands. There's a lot of, it's sort of intertwined with who we are as golfers. And there was really nothing that spoke to, you know, our weekends and how we enjoy the game. So right. It sort of felt natural.
So have you been in the adult beverage business before? Was this something that you were wondering about or did it just come to you? How long did it take you from the idea to get it to market?
Ooh. So the idea was probably 3 or 4 years in the making.
Okay.
So I actually grew up overseas as an oil brat and in the country that it was a expat, you know, community, and where I grew up, you weren't allowed to have spirits. You couldn't buy it. But what the company did was they, as part of the welcome package, they issued the families a pot still and an instruction manual on how to make your own.
Wow.
So I have a little bit of a unique relationship with spirits and making spirits. I didn't grow up, you know, worrying about necessarily my fake ID. I was worried about, you know, how many times, you know, you ran, you know, you distilled your mash and how long your mash ran and what was in your mash so that I wouldn't go blind drinking it.
Okay. And so then how do you find all the things that you have to find in order to produce this and get it to market?
How do you find it all? Well, let's work from, you know, the inception of the idea.
Okay.
Really, it started with, you know, how do we make a product that's going to speak to, you know, what we do and how we celebrate the rounds. And it really was a It really was something that, it was very personal in terms of building it and putting something together that I felt would not only just speak to me, but would also speak to other golfers and, other people who enjoy the game. The pieces in between and sort of how we do it is, that's kind of our little special sauce. But, I think one of the cool things along the way was the idea of the ball marker. Every bottle of Broken Tea vodka has a ball marker that's attached to it, and that's really part of what makes the brand the brand. And those ball markers, it's one ball marker, one bottle. We're not mass producing the ball markers. Each ball marker was, for every style of bottle that we make, the ball marker is part of that design. It's part of the thought process and what we're putting together.
And how long did it come up to figure out what the name was going to be and the idea to put the ball marker on the bottle, which is really a cool idea?
So the name really comes from, how I play the game. I generally don't hit driver off the tee box, mostly because it's a really hard club for me to hit. Also, I like to try and be as safe as I can when I get in play. So I don't really tee it up high. So I mean, when I'm going to a tee box, I'm actually looking for a broken tee. That it's part of my game. It's part of what you see on the course every time you hit a tee box. And it's honestly, it's a symbol of a game being played. So I thought it was fairly fitting in terms of, something to put with the, something to name the brand. I thought it made a ton of sense and, it seems to work well.
Well, golf is one of those games that teaches you a lot about life. I mean, you have good shots, you have bad shots. How do you respond to both? Is a key. But one of the big things about golf, and you know this from the times that you've played, is the relationships that you foster over this 4 hours that you're with somebody. I mean, you really get to know somebody at that point. Then, as you said, you sit around and you talk about stories. Oh, I remember that one hole. I missed that putt here. Oh, I could have beat you on this hole with this putt. And that's where the Broken Tea Craft Vodka comes into play at that 19th hole.
Yeah, absolutely. On the back of the bottle, it says, for the 19th hole and every tee box, fairway and green in between. It's really there to, it's really there to be, part of our game and honestly part of your bag. There's a lot of stuff out there that is available for you to purchase, but golfers in general are extremely discerning individuals. And, I'm sure you know as well as I do that we spend a lot of money on the game. We spend a lot of money on our bags and what goes in our bag and what we choose to wear and the shoes we put on our feet and the balls we're gonna hit. For all the care that we put into what goes into our bag. Broken Tea vodka is a symbol of, the amount of care you should be, you should want to have into what goes in your glass at the end of the round.
Chris, what kind of distribution do you have? Can someone in Georgia or Michigan get Broken Tea vodka?
So actually, yes, the big thing that we're really focused on is a direct-to-consumer channel. The whole thing about spirits is, usually you're going down to the corner store, you're going to the local bar, and that's where you're kind of going to find it. Because we're about, about the game and about the community, we want to make the brand something where we have that one-on-one relationship with the golfers. It's like I said, it's our community. We're part of it. So you can actually order Broken Tea vodka online, and we're available to ship right to your door in 46 states.
Okay, I want to ask you this. I grew up with my dad, who owned a liquor store on the south side of Chicago. Then, it was beer and straight shots were probably very popular. What is it about Broken Tea vodka that separates you from all the other vodkas that are out there? And some some more well known than you are.
No, 100%. Look, we're pretty early on. So yeah, there's a lot of brands out there that people know better than ours. I mean, when I talk about the care of what you put in your bag, there's a lot of care with respect to what we put in the bottle. So we already talked about the ball marker. That's something that you're not going to find on any other bottle. It celebrates the game. The bottle itself is actually designed to be customized and represent itself in different ways. So, for example, this year we have a four major series where, you know, we have special designs and special releases for every major that's coming out. We also do collaborations with golf courses where you will see a Broken Tea bottle designed specifically for a course. Some of the more notable courses that we've worked with is Panther National here in Florida. We're also working with the Dormy Club right now. And you will see, if you go to certain Dormy Clubs and you go to Panther National, you will see a collaboration bottle specifically designed for those clubs. And then the juice itself is, you know, I'm a little biased, obviously, but it's sure, pretty spectacular. It won a gold medal at the 2025 World Spirits Competition in San Francisco, went up against 300 other vodkas, and we also won a double gold at the 25 Sip Awards. That is a consumer reviewed competition. So, you know, you've got one that's very heavily, you know, judged, and one that is consumer based. So, you know, we get really good reviews, and we really got, you know, getting the gold and the double gold were huge. We were super excited about that. It's you know, made in the U.S. It's made with non-GMO corn. It's distilled 7 times, and it is carbon filtered. And that carbon filtration really cuts the edge off it and makes it super, super smooth. It's got one of the cleanest finishes you'll ever have. Honestly, wish you had a bottle there so you could try it yourself.
How does that make you feel from the idea that you had years ago to be in competition with 300 other brands, and you guys come out with not only one gold, but a double gold? I mean, how does that make you feel inside, in your heart?
You know, as a weekend golfer, it really feeds the competitive juices that we all have. You know, it doesn't matter if it's over a putt or it's or you're playing sixes or you're playing dots. You know, you want to take everyone's money. So, you know, a win's a win. At the end of the day, it's a validation outside of yourself that you're doing something right. You know, you don't want to get lost in what you're building, but, you know, getting the feedback from the people who have tried it, getting feedback from those competitions to let us know, yeah, you know what, you're doing something really good here. It's a good feeling, because, you know, we really want to put a great product out there. And you know, the ball marker, the bottle, the label, that doesn't really mean anything if you don't put something inside the bottle that is also meaningful.
Yeah. So the future, Broken Tea, are you going to go into other brands other than vodka, whiskey, bourbon? Is that on the future plans?
You know, we're going to let our fans decide. Right now, vodka is the story. The brand does set up to go into other spirits and RTDs and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, vodka is the number one spirit that's consumed by golfers. We did it by design because it is, you know, it speaks to a lot of our community. When you talk about the transfusion, the Bloody Mary, the John Daly, you know, any number of cocktails out there that all have vodka as a base. So it was a natural fit for, you know, the community. And like I said, it's a brand that's built for us.
And I love your cocktail club, Cart Girl, Albatross, Broken Tea, T-E-A, the Broken Transfusion. I mean, very, very clever ideas. I like that.
You missed one of my favorite, Breakfast Ball. That's a that's a phenomenal cocktail. And honestly, if you can get your friends to give you one, always great to have a second shot off a tee.
I was just going to say then, so since it's for the second shot, do you have to have two of those shots before you
I mean,
move
you can all yeah, you can always make it a double. I guess that would make a lot of sense.
on?
But I mean, the orange juice, the tonic, and the Aperol in there, just I mean, they hit in such a way that's it's balanced, it's smooth, and when you have one, you definitely want to have another one.
That's for sure. Well, give us the website, Chris, so our listeners can go to it and get some.
Yeah, absolutely. It's brokenteavodka.com. And T as in TEE, like you hit them off the tee box.
Chris, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Great idea. I love the competitiveness and centered around the game of golf, which you and I both love. Sometimes we don't love it as much as we should, but hey, we're playing it and you're celebrating it. Congratulations.
Thanks, Trish. And thanks for having me on.
This is Steve Melnick, and I hope you're enjoying listening to the Back Nine Boys.
Welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles with one of our favorite guests, Augustine, otherwise known as Augie Pisa with Pisa Golf. Augie, always a pleasure to have you back on the show. How are you?
Very good, Rich. Thank you very much. Love to be on the show. Thanks for having us back.
Always a pleasure. You are just so busy. I mean, going back and forth from San Diego to Mexico to all other destinations. How do you keep your schedule intact?
Well, it's yes. I mean, I fly a lot. Lucky to be to fortunate to fly a lot, go to magnificent places, and yes, I mean, we are both of our design studios, one in Puerto Vallarta, the other one in San Diego. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool atmosphere.
Yep. All right. So now you've announced, we've talked about wellness golf before on many of our other
Yes.
interviews. And now you've got a collaboration with Bobby Golf. So tell our listeners, those that don't know about wellness golf, but most of all, tell us about the collaboration that you've got now with Bobby Golf.
Yes, well, wellness golf, we've talked about this, and anybody that wants to know a little bit more, hashtag wellness golf. And it was, you know, it started in 2012 actually, but in 2017 was the first like big announcement when we did Chablais. We started to design Chablais Resort in the Yucatan Peninsula, and it was all about just, you know, just disrupting and ripping out, you know, the scorecard and taking your shoes off and connecting with nature and listening to the birds and the and taking in the wind and just relaxing a little bit more on the golf course. And so that's a little bit of wellness golf in regards to, you know, connect with nature, less resource, more fun. That's our motto for wellness golf. It's a short or shorter footprint development or golf experience, as we'd like to mention. And usually, depending on where it is, because sometimes we have wellness golf inside or within other projects, the regular 18-hole championship golf course or resorts, then it's kind of like we like to call it creating an experience within the experience of where you're at. So that's wellness golf, and it's supposed, you know, what we'd like to create there is a family atmosphere. You know, a we want the grandmother to play with the grand with the with the grandson or granddaughter, mother to play with the son, et cetera. And or even with your significant other that maybe doesn't play golf, but you're out there having fun, you know, having a drink or a pairing, an experience. And what we do with Bobby Golf, they're the best or one of the best in Mexico in the leather goods. And Mexico is very good in leather goods. So it makes them one of the best in the world for fine leather articles, or excuse me, fine leather products. And one of the things that we wanted to create was a special bag for the wellness golf collection, which is now that we have four or five in the works, and two or three that are existing, it is something that, hey, you know, it's our 20th anniversary of Pisa Golf. Let's do some things that are very different, exciting, cool, And so the first thing that came to mind was, hey, wellness golf is about playing with three or four clubs. You know, you're out there and just playing short game in a short game facility. The pencil is the instrument that has accompanied me for the past 20 years of Pisa Golf. But during my architecture career, since I was 18 or 19 years old, when I came into architecture, the pencil has always been with me. So right. It was kind of like a no-brainer doing the let's create a very special pencil bag, commemorative to my pencil and the famous pencil bag, historic pencil bag of in golf. So that's the collaboration. It's a great product. You should look into it because it's a beautiful bag made of fine leather, and we have a couple of our projects that are incorporating that in as their collection item, and it's going to be beautiful. It's a great collaboration with Bobby Golf. They're usually in different golf clubs, and also in tournaments like the Mexico Open, etc. They usually have their goods for the players, and for special perks they usually do those high-end perks, which is great, a great collaboration, being two artists and artisans from Mexico.
I like that. I mean, so I love the wellness golf. I wish there was more around here, relaxing. But one of the things that I was going to ask you in this pencil Bobby Golf bag, how many clubs do you carry and which clubs do you carry? I know two of them, driver, putter.
No, on the contrary, Rick, what we're trying to achieve here is we want the smaller footprint. We're only asking for golfers to play no more than 130 yards in.
Oh.
So we're talking about a pitching wedge. We're okay. Talking about a sand wedge, maybe a 60 if you absolutely need it, or a 9 iron, depending on the golfer's ability and
okay.
your putter.
Gotcha. Okay.
So yes, it's on the contrary to what you thought. It's just a short game, smaller footprint facility with maybe 12 holes, 11 holes, 9 holes, 4 holes in multi-purpose golf. So that's the experience.
All right. So way back, right? I should rewind and go back. So for me, that'd be a couple of hybrids, sand wedge, 60-degree wedge, and a putter. I'd be set.
Yes, they're all par fives. They're all par fives, Rich. Which, to your point, it's kind of cool because
yeah.
there is no scorecard. We have no
right.
scorecard, so we love it. That just par is par. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. The point is to knock it in as less shots as possible. That's it.
That's it. Yeah, but that's the way golf is meant to be.
Yes.
Just, get it in the hole, so to speak.
Just get it in the hole.
So how do you get these bags? Are they only available at the facilities where you have wellness golf in your association with Bobby Golf? Or can anybody buy one?
The ones that will be on display, they will have the logo of the resort. So let's say, St. Regis Papagayo that we have in Costa Rica, when that's starting in 2027. So when that happens, that will be in the shop for the special guests, and you can get them there. So for Chablé, it would be the same when they'll have them at the shop, or they'll have some sort of limited edition there. But for the if you're a fan or your audience is a fan of the pencil bag or of nice, cool things in golf, definitely, you can either look at it on our Instagram or on bobbygolf.com as well.
All right. Yeah. So big deal. I love it. And the colors, dark green and tan?
Yes.
Okay.
Give me one second. I think this is going to be cool.
Augie is going to go get one of the bags. I think that's kind of cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So here it is.
Oh, I like it.
And no, it's such a beauty. Look at that. Look at those details.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's and you can't smell it, but the smell is just beautiful, beautiful leather.
There's nothing.
So you have these two colors. Yes. Yeah. So you have this, the dark green or the military green, and then this that will contrast very nicely with the tan color.
Got it.
And our logo.
And you're well. Yeah. Okay. I love it.
And so that it's beautiful. It's great. So then
Bobby
you have
the golfers. He's a golf. Yeah. It is gorgeous. Yeah. I love it.
Thank you.
So I want to talk to you now about TGL. We got another season coming up. So what's on agenda with Pisa Golf and some of these really out of the box designs?
Well, thank you very much, Richard. We're very happy to be called now to season three. So always happy. I mean, after, and I'll say it publicly because I really think after we designed Cenote and Stinger, I am thinking, oh, it's all downhill from here. I don't know what else to design.
Right.
but it is kind of like, you know, it's a very cool feeling that that our designs are out there. I mean, on season one that I loved, the one that I think was the most famous one was the spear with the pinch in the middle. I think everybody had fun there. And then on season two, the cenote, which was a par three that plays with the big cape in the back. We wanted to design a golf hole that you can play backwards from back to the front, not backwards as in, but from back to the front, which is the weirdest thing ever. But we managed to do it with cenote. And then the stinger, a note to Tiger Woods and his signature shot. So there will be some surprises for season three, and it's harder to surprise audiences and people as the seasons go, because you've already seen season one, season two, and now season three. It's always a bigger challenge, the surprise factor. Yes. But I think that people will be surprised. They will enjoy it a lot. We have the of course we have the women's TGL now that begins on at some point later this year, and then we have the season three with also the added team that from Detroit that's also going to bring extra excitement. So we're very, very excited to design a few new holes. There are some very cool changes and new things that we will see in TGL, and we're excited, man. And it's always January, well, part of December, January, February, and March is they go by so quick. Every single Monday or Tuesday, we're out there enjoying ourselves. We still have the weekend to enjoy ourselves. And then we have Monday, you know, TGL on Mondays or Tuesdays. And it's been fantastic. It's been a great experience.
So you said there's going to be some challenges, especially after what you've done for two seasons. And now in season three, can you give us a hint, a little look into your design of what you've got coming up? Can you tell us?
We're going to play with some elements. So that's all I can say right now. We're going to play with some elements. You've seen us play with elements. We've played with fire. We've played with soil. We've played, so that's all I can say right now, but it's going to be interesting. And with a mix of the women and the best women and the best guys out there, I think it's going to be a very exciting TGL season three.
Well, you have definitely piqued our interest, as you always do. We know what's going to come are going to be some very out of the box type designs, as only you and your team can do.
Thank you.
And this Bobby Golf and Wellness is just another great idea, as you just continue to just explode as far as great ideas for people. thank you again for being with us as always.
Oh, thank you, Rich. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I really enjoy our chats, and then let's keep them coming. There's plenty to talk about, I'm sure, and we will have to do it sometime before the year ends, if you're okay with that.
Hey, I am totally okay with that. I will see you later. Talk soon.
Thank you, sir.
This is David Errington. I am an elite short game specialist here at Sea Island Golf Performance Center. I'm here with Rich Stiles, and you are listening to the Back Nine Boys podcast.
Welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles. We're with Pat Coyner, the Director of Instruction at Cherry Hills Country Club. And Pat, welcome to the Back Nine Boys. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
So tell me about your relationship and how you and Wyndham got together. Wyndham winning the CJ Cup, the Byron Nelson, a couple weeks ago. But tell me about how you two got together.
Yeah, we met last summer. So I being in Denver here at Cherry Hills, Wyndham grew up at Cherry Hills. He now spends most of his time in Scottsdale, but he comes back to Denver for the summers. He has a house here, and we had a junior clinic scheduled at Cherry Hills, and Wyndham was nice enough to agree to participate in it. And he hit the shots and I emceed it. So he and I worked a little bit together there. And then after that day, we just would see each other on the range. And after a little bit of time, he asked one day if I would take a look at his golf swing. And it went from there. I really met him at the right time. And he was struggling a bit last year and he didn't have a coach. So we started working together officially in September. And it's been going really nice since then.
It's interesting that a PGA Tour pro either is in between coaches or doesn't have one. So yes. How have you felt about working with him, and what did you see that you could help him with to get him to the stage where he is now?
Yeah, well, you're right in the first part of that statement or question. It is a little bit, especially in today's game.
Right.
It is a little bit unique for a player to be out there really for any duration of time without a coach or without someone to call on.
Right.
He had really gone about 3 years, 3.5 years without a coach. And of course, he had a great 2023 and a great 2024. But then things fell off in 25 and he just couldn't seem to get himself back into it. So, you know, I started teaching him and I addressed Wyndham's game just like I would address anyone else's. You look for the low hanging fruit. You know, you look for what's causing the most issues. You know, for a tour player, you're looking at much smaller things, but relatively speaking, they're still big things because you know, if something's costing them a shot around, it can be a big deal. But I immediately went back to some video from 2023 that I could find and saw what he was doing then when he was so successful and compared it to what I was seeing, you know, last year at the end of the summer, and they looked drastically different. So in some ways the writing was on the wall right in front of me. I knew what we needed to get back into.
So in that period of time when he was doing really well in 23 and, you know, kind of had a off year in 25, what did you see that you thought you could help him with immediately?
Yeah, from a technical teaching standpoint, the first thing that jumped out at me was the length of his backswing. It had gotten really long compared to 23 and 24 when he was playing well. To get very technical, his left wrist or his lead wrist was really going into extension or cupped. And that's a tough one for players because the club gets way past parallel, but that move with the lead wrist can steepen the shaft and it can open the face. So at the speed, for any golfer, that's not a great combination, but for this, at the speeds that Wyndham plays at and these players play at, it's a really tough position to play from. You know, and then the trickle-down effect from there is the way his body would react to where the club face was is he would tilt away from the target abruptly in the downswing and he had to just time it perfectly. And for someone who prefers to fade the ball, a player with that much spine tilt away from the target, that's a tough place to play from. So it just wasn't a good matchup for what he had been used to his whole career.
So what happened between he having a good year, having an off year, just got into some bad habits, just like we all do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it usually doesn't happen all at once. And quite honestly, sometimes it's not all revolving around golf. When things are going great and you're in a great mood, sometimes you play good. But I think throughout the year, he definitely got off track with his technique. I think he was dealing with some things personally that he was trying to get back in order, and nothing drastic, but you know, we all deal with stuff. But I think the snowball effect was that it just started to wear on him. And for someone who had won a major championship and ascended to number three in the world, and then to find themselves falling outside the top 50, it's a wake up call, you know, and I think all of a sudden he took a step back and he looked at his year as a whole and he knew he had to make some changes.
And their confidence at that level is so important. I mean, because if you have doubts about standing over a ball or standing over a putter or anything at that point, I mean, that could cost you hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars at that point.
Yeah, the self-belief part of professional sports in general is massive, but especially for individual sports like golf and tennis. I mean, it's... You have a team of people behind you in the background, but when these guys and ladies are out there, they're out there by themselves. You know, they have their caddies, but they're hitting the shots, and the self-belief part's really important. But again, if you're not playing well, it's hard to convince yourself to stay positive all the time either. I mean, they know the reality of it, and I think he had gotten himself to a point where he was starting to see himself fall down the list, and then... With the new changes in the tour, you know, everyone knew that it used to be the top 125 that were going to be exempt, and now it's going to be 100. So these spots are becoming more and more coveted, and the players are very aware of that.
So in professional sports, as you just kind of said, you know, confidence in yourself, in your game, whatever game that is so vital. I mean, every week you're out there competing against young kids, older people, people you've played with on the tour, people you've beaten before. How do you go about with a professional golfer who's got the talent that Wyndham has? Mm-hmm. How do you go about trying to build up that confidence back into his golf game?
I think it starts, you know, you have to first diagnose the issues and explain to him, you know, what he's currently doing and why it's causing problems, and then give them a blueprint or an idea of where you want to go with this and why. I think my success as a teacher at all levels, not just the tour levels, but I think my success is based on answering questions when the player has them, and really being able to explain to them why we're making these changes. Because if we're asking a player to really buy into this, I think it's important that they need to know, you know, why we're doing this and what the road ahead is hopefully going to look like. So, you know, at first it's if he looks at it on video and he likes the way it looks, that helps him buy into it a little bit. And then when he starts to see a little more consistency and a little more repeatability in the strike and the shot shape, then he really started to buy into it. And then lastly, when they do play some competitive rounds, if you can show them their stats and you can show them that quantifiably it is getting better, that's usually when they're all in at that point, because they know they're working in the right direction.
So Wyndham was basically, from what you just said, over swinging a little bit. And so you kind of shortened his backswing to kind of get him back into a better position.
Yes. Yeah. To aesthetically, it looks a lot shorter. But the reason that it's shorter is because we took away a lot of the the extension and the down cocking at the top in his wrists. He still makes a massive turn with his torso and his shoulders. But the club position is definitely in a shorter, short of parallel position compared to when I saw him in September.
So you've been working with him since September. Obviously now you've come out and he's won again. Mm-hmm. His confidence has got to be up. He's got to be in a different place at this point. He's risen probably in the rankings. So now what? Just kind of keep on track with what you guys have been talking about?
Yeah. It's, you know, and to backtrack a little bit, I could see him progressing since the Masters. He finished T21 at the Masters, but he was really close to a really nice finish there. And ever since then, he's had some top 20s, and he had been trending in the right direction from a ball striking standpoint. It was his putting that had been holding him back, which is odd because historically he's a really good putter, and the first part of this year he was really struggling with it. So, you know, it got to the point where we were continuing to stick to the program that we're on from a full swing standpoint, and then started to make things maybe a little less technical from a putting standpoint, playing a little more games, making it a little bit more competitive or real life scenarios. You know, and then I'll be honest with you, I knew he was trending in the right direction, but for him to win the way he did at the Byron Nelson, I'd be lying if I said I was expecting him to win that week. I figured he'd contend, but to watch and see how he did it was just amazing. And to go from where do we go from here? We really just keep doing the same thing. You know, each week that I see him, I'll see where he is. I'll remind him of a few things. There are always things that creep into people's golf swings, whether you're a tour player or a regular golfer. So there are always checks and balances going on. But we're certainly not going to reinvent the wheel from this point to the end of the year.
So how did you work with him on his putting? I know there were probably the sales of that putter that he used at the CJ Cup probably went through the roof.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, it's amazing. People look at the putters or the clubs that the pros are playing and say, oh, if I buy that, my game's just going to go crazy at this point.
Yeah, it's true. I'd like to see the sales numbers for that ping putter.
Yeah.
Because there are a few guys using it, but the way he putted with it, I'm sure that helped ping. But to answer your question, as far as what we worked on, you know, we really just got a little more. We definitely worked on speed control.
Okay.
Wyndham's an aggressive player. He does not like to leave putts short from any distance. So he tends to be aggressive. So we worked on that, you know, what's called a capture speed, the speed at which the ball is hopefully entering the hole. We dialed that in to where, regardless of what length putt it was, his goal was, you know, once he had read it and aimed it, now he's literally just trying to hit it the appropriate speed, whether it's a 2-foot putt or a 50-foot putt. And I think once he started to really get better at his speed control, he started to make more putts, you know, because the speed you hit the putt determines how much or how little it breaks. And it also, you know, if the ball's rolling a little softer, it makes the hole bigger. You know, you can lip in instead of lipping out if the speed is right. So
how involved were you, Pat, in the decision to use that putter?
Not very involved, quite honestly.
Okay.
Wyndham has a full-time putting coach named Mike Kansky, and Mike is phenomenal, and he works with a bunch of guys out there, and by all means, Mike deserves a ton of credit for the measuring Wyndham's stroke and all the things that go into making sure that Wyndham's rolling the ball well. Starting at the Masters and up to this point, Wyndham just took a little bit of a step back from Mike, just to become a little bit more, intuitive and put his own spin on things.
Got it.
And that's really when I became a little more involved, and it was really just setting up stations for him and you know, reminding him of where he was aimed and little things like that, but getting him a little more reactive, you know, like some of the other sports, you know, where you're just reacting instead of being so technical. But the putter change was completely his idea. He went through a few putters this year, settled on this one in Houston, but then made a slight change, kept the same putter, but lengthened it and made it into a counterbalance version. And that's when he really took off.
Yeah, shooting 30 under is not bad. I think he did okay. You know, that's just phenomenal. Pat, I can't thank you enough for talking with us about Wyndham. And you're a magician, obviously, to get him back and get that confidence back. So congratulations to that.
Well, I appreciate you having me, but anytime I talk about the players, and I'm proud of my work with him, but the players are the ones that do it. It's those guys are phenomenal, and to watch and see what he did last week was just amazing. I was so proud of him.
Yeah, and those putts drop in, that's pretty good. Pat, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show with Rich Stiles. Go to back9boys.com for all things golf whenever you want it. We'll be back next week with an all-new Back Nine Boys at back9boys.com.